How's it going? How would you answer that at the present time? Pastor Dave Rolfe shares these thoughts.
With a disease, or maybe if you're unemployed or other things are going on in your life, your kids are in rebellion or whatever, you feel like, okay, God's going to do a miracle. I have his promise, a future and a hope. And then days go by and weeks and months, and you start to get discouraged. You start to feel like, oh man, I hate it when someone asks me how it's going. I don't want to have to tell them. It's still rough. It's still hard. But the key for us is to say, wherever God has me right now, I want to be at home. Because wherever I am, he is with me, and that's what makes it home.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
It's easy to start comparing our lives to those around us and think that they have it better than we do. They're getting all the breaks and we aren't. And it can leave us feeling life isn't fair. Can you relate? Today on The Balanced Word, we turn your attention to Psalm 37 and a passage of Scripture that speaks volumes to us when life seems unfair. Something David could relate to at this stage of his life. Here's Pastor Dave Raw.
This morning, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 37 as we look at the first 11 verses or so of Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, David is dealing with the fact that sometimes life just doesn't seem fair. It just doesn't go the way we want it to. It's just, boy, you feel like you're doing the best you can, and yet you look at other people, and it seems like they get all the breaks. In fact, it seems like people who are bad people get better luck than we do when we're trying to serve the Lord. Those of you who are Angel fans know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, we've been cheated every game by the umpires. Of course, we're not hitting, pitching, or fielding, but other than that, why couldn't we get a little bit of USC's luck that they had at the end of their game? And hey, UCLA, Keith, are you clapping for USC, Keith? Okay, I didn't think so. UCLA made a great comeback, too. Keith played at UCLA, so we'll give them their props also. But you look and you just go, life isn't fair. This is crazy. It's out of sync. And David begins by saying this exhortation, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. He says, don't get stressed because it seems like people who don't deserve it are getting a great deal or getting breaks and you're not. He goes on to say, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off. For those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. David here gives us some keys to living life when it seems like life isn't fair. And you see the main four points, the main four terms that he uses as we go through the passage. In verse 3, trust in the Lord. In verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. In verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. And in verse 7, rest in the Lord. This is sort of a path that God unfolds to say, if life isn't going the way you want it to, here's what you need to look at. If it seems that other people are getting a good deal and you're getting a raw deal, here's what you need to pay attention to. And first of all, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. It all comes down ultimately to trust. If we believe that God is powerful and we believe that God loves us, if we aren't satisfied, we're not trusting. Trust is something that decision that we make to place ourselves in the hands of another, it's difficult. Oh, there are some people in our lives that we trust, others that we don't. Most people we trust to a degree. Now, when you're sick, you have some serious medical problems. It's amazing what you will trust to a doctor. To allow them to knock you out, cut you open, take pieces of you out, to poke you, probe you, manipulate you, and throw other things in. And you trust somebody you don't even know anything about. But you believe that they know what they're doing. Now, if you work in the medical field, you're probably much less trusting because you know how little these people really know and how much the practice of medicine is the reality of the way it is. But for most of us, as long as someone knows more than we do, we figure, well, okay, used a bunch of big words. I don't want to ask questions and look stupid, so go ahead and cut me open. Do what you need to do. Now, if you go into a doctor's office and it's feeling kind of shaky, the place is sort of dumpy and there's dirt everywhere. You see cockroaches running around and the doctor doesn't wear gloves and he smells like he's been drinking. You might go, man, why did I get an HMO? But you also might go, maybe I'll try, can I get a second opinion? Can I try someplace else? It's that decision to trust. And that's ultimately what we're called to do with God, to trust him, to believe that he knows what he's doing and that he will do what's best for us. If we can't bring ourselves to trust him, the only alternative is to trust ourselves. And that's not very smart. Hey, if you have a tumor and they say it needs to come out, I suppose if you want, I don't even think there's a law against just go ahead and taking it out yourself. You know, take a few belts of vodka or something and then cut yourself open and go, I don't know, I saw this on House. It doesn't look too complicated. And go ahead and do it yourself if you want. But it's foolish to trust in yourself. The only alternative really is to go into denial and just allow it to continue to kill you or to trust a doctor to do his work. And so when it comes to spiritual things and when it comes to life itself, the choice is, are you going to trust yourself or are you going to trust God? And so David starts it here. Sometimes it's easy for us to say we trust God, but we don't really think about what that means. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. See, here's the thing. When we feel like we're getting ripped off and life isn't fair, we so often lose heart. The Bible tells us to keep doing good and not to lose heart. Don't grow weary in well-doing. But it's easy to grow weary in well-doing when it seems like it's not paying. If you continue to be generous to someone and they continue to be mean to you, eventually you decide this isn't worth it. And so often the temptation that we have when we're really trying to do the right thing and then it seems like it's not paying off, we start to think, you know what? Maybe I am the stupid one. Maybe I should just start to compromise. Could be that maybe one night of just getting drunk might help, might feel better. And so often as we come short of everything that we dream and life is disappointing us, we just go, you know, forget it. I'm going to give up and I'm just going to do what I want to do. But trusting in the Lord means I'm going to continue to do the right thing. I'm going to continue to live a life that's serving God, even if it seems like it's not working. Trust in the Lord and do good. And then he says, dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. That word to dwell means to make yourself at home, to settle down, to accept where you are and kind of put your stakes in. Be settled. It's something that the Bible talks a lot about because we have this dilemma that in a sense, we really weren't created for this world in a way. This world's all messed up. And so we say, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And certainly we feel that way sometimes. But at the same time, right now, this is where God has us, and this is our home. And there's a sense to which, as long as we're just counting on bailing out of this place as our escape clause. Yet we're called to live here. This is where we are. We need to make the best of where we are. Paul talks about it, and when he describes how he learned to be content wherever he is, that where I am, I'll be satisfied there. See, ever since the first century, the Christians were living with the expectation that Jesus could return at any time. And I think God wanted them to have that realization because he could have returned at any time. And knowing that he's going to return has an effect on us. But over a couple of thousand years, every once in a while, someone gets excited. 1988, it seemed like, well, a generation from when Israel became a nation. And a guy wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Going to Come in 1988. And people got really excited, but he didn't show up in 1988. And so there's this, oh man, what now? Well, then we've got to revise our calculations, and maybe he's coming in 89 or 90 or 90, and to continue to set ourselves up. But Jesus said that we are to occupy until he comes. We're to be busy about living our lives, doing business, functioning in this society. So on the one hand, it's true we need to understand that he could come back at any time, and therefore the values that we set down here should be affected by that. But at the same time, the Bible makes it very clear that while we are here, as long as we are here, however long that is, we're to be good citizens, we're to contribute to society, we're to plan for the future, and we are to be satisfied with where God has us at this moment. See, if you won't be satisfied where he has you now, you'll never be satisfied at the next step or when he does something else. If we live our lives believing that, boy, life is going to get so much better after this happens, or once I finish school, or once I get this promotion, or once I can get that house, or once I'm married, or once I'm divorced, or once I have kids, or once my kids move away, or then it's going to be good. No, we need to accept where we are right now. There's a great passage of Scripture that I'm sure that you're familiar with, but if you want, you can turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. Because it's an example of a scripture that people have been very encouraged by, and yet they've ignored kind of the context of the verse. Jeremiah 29:11. God is speaking. And he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God's saying, I have a great plan for you. And it involves a future and a hope. It's a glorious promise of God. But back up a few verses, and if you look back starting with verse 4, you see what God is saying in the whole context. It says, thus says, by the way, he was talking to the Jews who had been captured in Judah by Nebuchadnezzar and carried off into the Babylonian captivity. And he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. He says, here's what I want you to do. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You see what the Lord is saying to the people? He's saying, look, you're in captivity. I know you don't like it this way. I know this isn't the ultimate goal that I have for your life, but right now you are where I have placed you. And so he said, just because you're in Babylon, don't think that it's just going to magically, you're going to be gone in the next couple days. Don't hold your breath. He said, while you're here, build houses, get married, have kids, plant vineyards. Allow me to work in you where you are. Well, I have a plan that goes beyond where you are, but unless you will determine to be good citizens where you are, then going anywhere else isn't going to fix it. You'll be back where you started from. And so back here in Psalm 37, as David tells them to be at home, dwell in the land, the reminder is if you trust God, then be willing to stay where you are. It doesn't mean that God's not going to take you somewhere else eventually. The point is, don't count on a move of God and live for that because you may be stuck here where you are a little longer than you think. And how discouraging it gets sometimes when we just think, well, I'm going through a trial right now, but I just have a feeling that right around the corner, something good's going to happen. And so with a disease, or maybe if you're unemployed or other things are going on in your life, your kids are in rebellion or whatever, you feel like, okay, God's going to do a miracle. I have his promise, a future and a hope. And then days go by and weeks and months, and you start to get discouraged. You start to feel like, oh man, I hate it when someone asks me how it's going. I don't want to have to tell them. It's still rough. It's still hard. But the key for us is to say, wherever God has me right now, I want to be at home. Because wherever I am, he is with me, and that's what makes it home. And I'll dwell in the land. I will live knowing that he could come back at any moment, but at the same time, I want to experience everything that he has for me where I am. I'll be at home. I'll put down roots. It's okay. Now, if he wants to take me somewhere else, that's great too. But trusting in him means I trust that it's okay for me to be where I am. I am learning to be content where I am. If I can't do that, I won't be content anywhere else. And he says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness, or his truth, literally. The idea is while you are here, what God is doing is something that can nourish you and encourage you and strengthen you. So while you're dwelling in the land and trusting in him, be looking for what he is doing to be your sustenance, to encourage you and help you. So you don't like it where you are right now? Well, guess what? God is doing a lot of great things where you are right now. Look for those things. Allow those to be your strength. Allow those works of God in your adverse circumstances to encourage you. Be encouraged in who he is. Be fed on that which he is doing that's faithful. Appreciate what he's doing. Look for what his hand is at work in. And so trust in the Lord. Keep doing the right things. Settle down in the land and feed on who he is, his truth and his faithfulness. Now, after we establish that relationship of trust and that resolution to say, you know what? I don't like it where I am right now, but God put me here. And he has promised to lead me in green pastures, so I'm going to believe there must be some pasture here somewhere. And I have that optimism that can only come from trusting in God. Then the next step is, he goes, okay, now start to enjoy it. Delight yourself, verse 4, also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So you're trusting in him and dwelling in the land, settling down and accepting your circumstances. And now he says, but now what you need to do is delight in the Lord. That word for delight is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It refers to things that are frilly and extra and luxurious. And what he's saying is basically luxuriate yourself in the Lord. Have you ever gone somewhere where it was just a little over the top in terms of, man, this is the life, this is luxurious? You always plan things in your house that are going to be that way. You know, when you buy the jacuzzi tub, you think that you're going to always just be laying in that and, oh, it's going to be so luxurious. But, you know, you don't use it for a little while and then you fill the tub and you turn on the jets and bugs come out of the jets, and it's just like, this doesn't work quite this way. Plus, there's something about somebody else setting the tub up and having it perfect. It's not as much all the bending over and everything. Really, those tubs aren't everything that they're cracked up to be. But if you go somewhere and it's like, wow, this is great. I don't even have to lift a finger. This is luxury. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, if you're trusting in him, now what you need to do is to discover the pleasure and the benefits and the luxury of what it is to walk with the Lord. As you're feeding on his faithfulness and his truth, as you're looking for what he's doing, now you can just lay back and go, oh man, this is the life. This is a good life. Now, often when we see people that have it better than we do, especially wicked people, it's so hard to look at our cheesy life and go, wow, this is the life. But you know, we are so blessed. We're so spoiled. God has given us so much more than most of the world. Most of the world, you know, there are people starving. In fact, your house, as dirty and run down as it is, and things maybe need to be done on it, and you're frustrated with it, why don't you compare to the people who just had a hurricane come blow through their neighborhood and level their house and go, man, my house is, they would consider your house luxury. It's appreciating as we see what God has done, enjoy what he has given you. The Bible says that God has given us everything to enjoy. You shouldn't feel guilty about being blessed, but you also shouldn't grade it on the curve so you're always kind of bummed that you don't quite have what somebody else has. Instead, go, I have so much more than I deserve. And for most of us, we can say, man, I sure have a lot more than I used to have. And I sure have a lot more than I could have. If I got everything I deserved, I wouldn't be nearly as well off as I am right now. Appreciate the luxury that's around you and enjoy it in him. Realize this is God's way of communicating to you. It's his kindness that brings us to repentance. He's been good to us. He has spoiled us as his children, and he did it deliberately. So often we see people, you know, the spoiled trust fund kids and look down our nose at them. But the truth is, if you had the ability to spoil your kids, and most of us do, you'd of course do it. You love your kids. And before you get too hard on that, just realize how much God spoils us, how much he gives us just to enjoy, how much he does for us that's so extra from what we would really need. It's just true. And so David, reminding his listeners to delight themselves in the Lord, to take the opportunity to just go, God's doing some things for us just for me to enjoy it.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Do you appreciate what God has given you and done for you? Pastor Dave offers this illustration as we close.
Now, what a crummy thing if you pour luxury on someone and they just don't appreciate it. You decided, you know, what these people would need, it'd be great for them to go on a cruise and just to enjoy being pampered. And so you buy them a cruise and you give them a gift certificate for the spa to get all those weird treatments of smearing things on you and getting a massage and things like that. And you go, you know, you're just going to be pampered. And so they go and do it. And you go, well, how did it go? And they say, you know, the food just, it's so annoying when they give you so many choices for food. And it's just hard to pick. And so I pretty much ate off the kids' meal or ate at the pizzeria. And you go, oh, well, how was everything else? Well, you know, I'm just not comfortable with people doing fancy things for me. So it was kind of frustrating. And the boat, it was on the water and it rocked kind of, and that got kind of sickening. And, you know, I tried the spa, but it was just a bunch of hoity-toity snobs there. I didn't want to participate in that. And so, to be honest with you, it just felt good to get off the boat. And you go, man, you missed it. You missed what a cruise is supposed to be about. And I believe that we do that to the Lord when he blesses us and he gives us so much and we don't appreciate it.
More biblical encouragement for when life seems unfair. Next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Raw. A presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my